Now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care. Nahastan anila nijone go shavothya, nijone go shavothya. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radios, Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Wow.
music from the Whitefish Bay Singers off their ABBA record CD, Ndutumag, meaning our clans. That drum song was a jingle dress song. The jingle dress is a woman's dance. I've been told that this dance is a way of honoring the Creator, the Great Spirit. The beautiful dress has 365 triangular cones that sway with the dancer's movements. Each cone represents one day of the year, and each cone is said to be a prayer offered to the Creator in all life, all of our relations. Kinon Wontakwasin. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. In today's program, we share an interview with a fine Native author, Amy Krauthorn. Amy and her writer husband, Professor Gabe Horn, have just had their newest book entitled Transcendence, published by All Things That Matter Press. It has just been released in bookstores. Transcendence is also available for purchase on Amazon.com. The book's ISBN number is 978-0-9822-722-9-9. Once again, the book's ISBN number is 978-0-9822-722-9-9. It was copyrighted in 2009. Like Yad Kiddushi Native Center, Amy Horn is concerned about the health of our sacred Mother Earth and the well-being of all life, now and for future generations. Amy's writings are a voice for all of our relations. As we say in my Wabanaki language, Kinon Wontakwasin, meaning the great web of life of our biosphere, the animals, plants, trees, birds, insects, fish and aquatic life, the soil, air, and waters. Amy is a close personal friend of mine. She serves as an advisor to Yad Kiddushi Native Center. Both of us are sincerely dedicated to following our ancestral, cultural, spiritual life ways. We also try to encourage Native youth to carry on our Indigenous ceremonies and tribal traditions, which can teach and guide their lives now in the 21st century. Hopefully, our cultural life ways, our Native spirit, will continue long into future generations. Amy Krauthorn is a very special person. After winning a Regional Young Writers Award, Amy attended the University of Iowa, where sadly, she lost her eyesight. Undeterred, Amy later went on to earn a bachelor's degree in American Indian Studies and Psychology at the University of Minnesota. Amy Horn was also the first blind teaching assistant at the University of Minnesota's American Indian Studies program. She is proficient in the Native Dakota language. Last year, 2008, Amy was first place winner in the National Federation of the Blind, NFB, Writers Contest for Fiction for her essay, War Pony. Another essay, Quantum Lakota, will soon appear in a text discussing the relationship between scientific theory and Native American thought. As a Native American ecologist, this topic is of special importance to me. The editors of Indian Country selected Amy Horn's work for their upcoming short story anthology. I also would like to mention that I had the privilege to read Amy's recent autobiographical novel, My Father's Blood, being represented by the Belfry Literary Agency. Last but not least, Amy Horn is currently working on her third novel, Dancing in Concrete Moccasins. On a very personal note, my friendship with Amy Horn is very, very special. As many listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, I am disabled, dependent upon using a wheelchair. Amy, being a blind person, easily understands the difficulties and frustrations people with disabilities must deal with. Amy and I can talk together in ways that non-disabled people can't relate to. I am very grateful for her friendship. I am very proud of her courage as a disabled person who could just as easily have given up on her writing career. As I now welcome Amy Horn to Wolf Mountain Radio, I would like to read the paragraph I wrote for Gabe and Amy Horn's new book, Transcendence. My comments, which appear along with four other respected reviewers in the first few pages, are also relevant to each book Gabe and Amy have thus far authored in their literary careers. Quote, Transcendence is a special book that shares indigenous wisdoms that come from the author's native hearts. Each page is like a shell bead of our sacred Quahog clam wampum. When woven together, they provide an important message to all of us during this critical time on Mother Earth. Transcendence is an expression of Inadiziwin, our cultural spiritual way of life as a people of Mother Earth. Transcendence is like listening to elders share stories that serve to teach and guide us as we walk a sacred earth journey, unquote. It is now my honor to welcome Amy Horn to Wolf Mountain Radio.
My name is Amy Kraut Horn. Chante Yushke Wachiakaye. It's always good to be with you, Ones. Always wonderful to have you in our home, and it's an honor to be with you in this way.
Amy, in today's program introduction, I mentioned how privileged I am to have read your special manuscript, My Father's Blood. Would you please tell our worldwide listeners about My Father's Blood?
I'm very, very close to completing my first full-length novel that I have written on my own. It's called My Father's Blood, and it is an autobiographical novel. The purpose of me writing my personal experiences and about my life are twofold. One, to discuss the idea of Indian identity and what it is like to grow up outside the culture, but always know, always have that feeling inside of you that you do not fit with the dominant society that you're living amongst. And that search to find the name to put on that feeling, that part of my spirit that has always existed that I never had a name for. And it's very much about that journey. My life journey has also included something that I know is part of a lot of Native people's daily lives, and that's diabetes. I know that our people are greatly afflicted right now with this disease. It's an epidemic proportion for all of America, but it is particularly devastating among minority populations and extremely devastating among our own Native population. Among the Pima tribe, the statistics say that 50% of the population now has been diagnosed suffering and trying to live with this disease. It's also very rampant among the Hispanic community as well and the African American community. So my book, I'm trying to reach out in a familiar way to those people, those Native people, and all those people of color who are living with diabetes and the struggles that go along with it. Within my journey in finding my Native identity and spirituality, how it has been a healing process that has helped me to deal with my disease and the complications that have gone along with it. I lost my eyesight to the disease about 15 years ago, and so a lot of the experiences I share in my book are how I struggled with that transition in my life. Again, another transition between one world to another. I wanted to share that with people in order for them to see that you can go through something devastating, that there'll be points where you might not even think you're going to survive it, and you can come out on the other side if you can find that thing within yourself, that spirit that carries you through. And I know there's a lot of books that are the so-called inspirational books that people write about how their religion helped them to overcome their disability or their tragedy or their loss. I just felt that perhaps it was time that there be a book explaining that the idea of native spirituality, the spirituality that's born of this land, that it also has the ability and the strength to carry people through very difficult times in their life. And so that is what my autobiographical novel is about. And like Gabe said, right now there's a lot of doors closed to the idea of multicultural literature, or at least the kind that we are producing. They like to keep Native people in a very small box. They like to keep us in, from the historical perspective, like to keep us in the past. It's all right to write about anything that predates 1900. They basically like to keep us in teepees and on horses. Whereas there are some very fine books out there that are historical fiction, and those are important, but it's also important, I think, for the readership to see that we're here, we're now, we're contemporary. We have lives and ideas, and our spirituality and our culture is very present and in the present moment. And that was also what I wanted my autobiographical novel to share with the world, that, hey, we're still here. These are our struggles. This is what we go through as human beings. And here's a glimpse of it. And let them know that we can't be forgotten. We're not going to be quiet. And that they need to be aware of that.
America, you invite the red man to sit at your table, be your guest, to justify the guilt that you are feeling. Now you tell us that you like us the best, and the black man is waiting on the sideline for the chance to get into your game, to show you that he's just as good as you are, prove to you that he can be the same. And the triangle that you have created keeps you by yourself, keeps you paranoid for the red, white, and blue that you keep flying, for the red, white, and black that you avoid, 'cause the red man was here so long before you. Well, the black man was a slave you brought ashore, and the red man was killed to free a frontier. Well, the black man was killed for sport and nothing more, and you wonder why the red man won't be like you. You should wonder why the black will never be, 'cause you came to this land because you wanted freedom, but that you have forgotten now that you are free.
Music from Dakota singer-songwriter Floyd Red Crow Westerman off his Red Crow Creation CD. The name of that classic song is Red, White, and Black. Floyd Red Crow Westerman, sadly, has passed away into the spirit world. Floyd was a warrior for Mother Earth and the rights of indigenous peoples. He performed concerts throughout the world and served as a cultural ambassador for the International Indian Treaty Council. I was honored to know Mr. Westerman. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitishi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. I have the pleasure to be visiting with two very special friends, Gabe and Amy Crowdhorn. Gabe and Amy are some of the finest writers in Indian country. Amy, continuing our conversation on the topic you just commented upon, that is, how the publishing and marketing world, and for that matter, film and television, tends to only publish, produce movies, and show TV programs about Native peoples so long as the depictions are framed within the Eurocentric concepts and images white people have about Indigenous peoples. Amy, as you said, There are books, movies, and TV shows that portrays tribal peoples in a stereotypical way, usually in a pre-20th century era. In most cases, since they are written or produced and acted by non-Indians, often the books, films, and TV are often not only inaccurate and wrong, but are often racist. This is what I refer to as the Wild West Cowboy and Indians distorted view. Publishers in Hollywood seem not only uncomfortable of portraying contemporary Indian life, but even fearful of how we Native peoples, in addition to honoring our traditional cultural and spiritual ways, also live in the modern world. In many cases, Native peoples are great achievers in whatever professions we choose. Your husband Gabe and I, as college professors, often experience this Eurocentric mentality in academia. Some non-Native professors have a difficult time accepting American Indian scholars as their equal in whatever discipline we excel in. As a brief example, I am both a Native person and environmental scientist. I have felt a disrespectful attitude on the part of some of my white colleagues from my published articles being highly regarded in the field of ecology and environmental education. Amy, I want to ask you now to please speak about Transcendence, the newest book you and Gabe have just had published by All Things That Matter Press. To me, Transcendence is special for many reasons. For me, the writings come from the spirit. They resonate with the sacred.
The book that we complete together, Gabe and I, Transcendence, like you mentioned before, most of the stories that I contributed to the novel did come out of a very sacred place. They came from my dreams. They're important in the sense that time is speeding up. I think human beings, whether they are tapped in to primal wisdom or indigenous thought, are feeling it. I believe that all humans now are feeling that speeding up of time. And there is a rising sense that there is knowledge that's been forgotten or denied that needs to come forth. The idea of loving the earth, of looking at all living beings as our relatives, unless people are willing to start looking at this as a viewpoint, as a way of life, there is a very downhill, slippery slope that all of humanity is going down. And as far as the earth, she will heal herself. I truly believe that no matter what we do as human beings, she will have the ability to heal herself. It's just about whether or not humanity will be around any longer when she does, or whether she's going to shake us off like the fleas and the parasites that so many human beings have become on her body. And it's just simply time for those of us who still have these beliefs within us to share these things with the world in hopes that maybe we can make connection with all the indigenous peoples who still hold on to these beliefs, and to give them hope and to keep fighting the good fight and putting the good energy into the universe, but also to perhaps open some eyes and wake up those people who seem to be sleepwalking.
Amy, one of the most important Native ethics of indigenous peoples is being concerned for the well-being of all life of future generations. It is often expressed as the principle of the seventh generation, a tribal code of morality where people consider how their actions will affect future generations. This is why educating young people is so important. Yad Kitishi Native Center tries to honor this philosophy by encouraging young people to care about the world, to be proud of one's culture, and to fight for planetary justice. I know you and Gabe share this important concern about teaching young people, especially Indian youth, to learn our tribal histories, traditions, ceremonies, and languages. Without these, Native people can lose their spirit, their identity, what it means to be a Native person. Amy, would you please share any thoughts you may have on this important question?
I think that my identity as a Native woman and what my feeling is about what it means to be a Native woman and what my role within my culture is to create and to nurture. And I believe that that has been at the center of all Native women's purpose from the very beginning. I know in different cultures it's different, but I know that in the Lakota culture, women did not seek a vision because they knew their purpose. Their purpose was to create and to nurture. And I carry that with me no matter what I do. If I go into write, if I go into my kitchen to cook, if I'm helping Gabe in the yard to plant or to tend plants, or when I care for our animals, or I prepare a meal for our family and we have a holiday gathering, at the center of everything I do is that purpose, and that is to create and to nurture. And I feel to a certain extent with my writing that the creation process, of course, is in the writing of the book. The nurturing process that I feel is what I'm trying to extend to other living beings. I'm trying to extend hope. I'm trying to extend a message of hope and of strength to Native people and non-Native people. And that is my extension of my purpose to nurture. I think it's important for Native people to try to learn and understand Native languages. However, I don't think that should ever be used as a classification for who is or who isn't Native. I've heard arguments where people have said, well, you know, he or she doesn't even speak the language, as if that should be some indicator of how much or how little Indian someone is. And I feel just as strongly about that as I do about those people who say that you're only an Indian if you have that enrollment ID number. It's not about that number or whether you can say a phrase in a Native tongue. It's about what's in your heart, because basically anyone can say a phrase in a Native language. Anyone of any culture, anyone of any religious or spiritual background can learn how to say that phrase. I mean, most of our indigenous languages were translated into written word for the sole purpose of assimilating Native people towards Christianity. So, therefore, the whole idea of Indian identity being wrapped up in that, I think there is knowledge locked. There's cultural knowledge locked in learning a language. When you do so, it gives you insight about cultural etiquette and about family etiquette, spirituality, philosophy, that if you don't know the language, you may not be privy to. But I don't think just because someone learns a phrase that that makes them more or less Native than someone who doesn't. But it is another way to make a cultural connection and contact. But it really boils down to what's in your heart. How do you live? How do you live your life? What do you exhibit? Do you love the earth as your mother? Do you understand the concept of Midako Oyasi, you know, all my relatives, everything as being related to one another? And do you understand your place within it? And if you can say you do, for me, that's what it means to be Indian. I feel very fortunate, and I feel very grateful that I had the opportunity to be mentored by a wonderful man named Ishna Hokshina, who taught me the language, who taught me a lot about the culture and what it really meant to be Indian. He was the one who said to me when I was struggling with my identity and whether I had the right, because I wasn't a card-carrying Indian, to even say that I was Indian. And he said to me, he said, "You know who you are. I know who you are, and don't ever be afraid to acknowledge that." So I believe it's not the most important aspect to be able to learn a language. I would encourage people, if they have the opportunity, and I encourage people who know the language already to keep speaking it and exercising it so that it's not forgotten, that we don't lose it, because there are some cultural connections to it that are very important. And I feel grateful for having had the opportunity to learn.
Legislations on the desk of a do-right congressman. Now he don't know much about the issue, so he picks up the phone and he asks advice of the senator out in Indian country, a darling of the energy companies who are ripping off what's left of the reservations. I learned a safety rope. I don't know who to thank. Don't stand between the reservation and the corporate bank. They'll send in federal tanks. It isn't nice, but it's reality. Bury my heart in wounded knee. Churches by the dozens want to guide our hand and sign our Mother Earth over to pollution, war, and greed.
Get this quick!
Bury my heart in wounded knee.
Bury my heart in wounded knee.
Deep in the earth.
Bury my heart in wounded knee.
Cover me with pretty lies.
Spies,
we get the liars by the fire, and we get the FBIs. They lie in court and get nailed, and still Peltier goes off to jail.
Oh, don't match the gun.
Bury my heart in wounded knee. The name of the reservation.
Bury my heart in wounded knee.
Body dump. The FBI got off her hands and told us she died of exposure. Bury my heart in wounded knee.
Bury my heart.
an Indian. Don't ask the why. On Saturday night, I'll bury my heart in Bimini.
You are listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their world views in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing Indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kitichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kitichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kitichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kitichi's Kinonwatakwisin Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yat K'tichi Native Center, write to Yat K'tichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat K'tichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
The song you just heard prior to our Yat K'tichi Native Center program identification was Buffy St. Marie's classic, Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, from her EMI record CD, Coincidence and Likely Stories. Years ago, while visiting Gabe and Amy Horn, there was a Native American culture, arts, and music festival that featured Buffy St. Marie. Buffy is a hero and role model to many of us Indian people. Many remember her from her 5 years on the excellent PBS TV program Sesame Street, where she taught the public that Indians still exist. I had the honor to interview her not only about her music, her support of Native rights and social justice, but equally important, her career in education. Dr. St. Marie, PhD, has lectured and taught at various colleges and universities. She still continues to do so. Of special significance is Dr. Buffy St. Marie's Nihiwan Foundation for Native American Education. Yat K'tichi's Native Center's Wauchatchobe Environmental and Earth Ethics Education Project incorporates a lot of Nihiwan's cradle board teaching programs, curriculum, and lesson plans. We also utilize Nihiwan's Youth Council on Race Project, which promotes dialogue on race and culture issues. For more information about Buffy St. Marie and her wonderful music, artwork, and the Nihiwan Foundation for Native American Education, please visit her website, www.creative-native.com. The first song was from Lakota singer-songwriter Sissy Goodhouse off her Mekoshe Music CD entitled The Third Circle. The name of the song was Seventh Generation. I featured that song in keeping with my earlier commentary concerning the principle of the seventh generation, the Native ethic of caring for the future well-being of Mother Earth and all life for seven generations into the future. This belief is why Indigenous peoples throughout the world have protected the Earth. This is why tribal peoples lived without harming the environment. Our cultural spiritual lifeways ensured our communities to live a sustainable ecological balance. Native peoples continue to have a pedagogy based on earth knowledge and elders' wisdoms that are passed down from generation to generation. Hopefully soon, these Native ways of how to live in peace with each other, with Mother Earth, with all of our relations, Kinon Wantakwasin, will be lessons learned by everyone on the planet. I know my program guests, Gabe and Amy Krauthorn, share this hope. It is reflected in their fine writings. I want to now feature a poem from Native American poet Joy Harjo off her CD entitled Poetic Justice, Letter from the End of the 20th Century. The selection is entitled For Any May Pictou Aquash, whose spirit is present here and in the dappled stars. Any May Pictou Aquash was a true Native warrior. She was devoted to defending sacred lands and Indigenous peoples' rights as a member of the American Indian Movement. Annie Mae in 1976 was found dead in the Badlands of what's now called South Dakota. She was fighting to protect Pahasapa, the sacred Black Hills. Many consider her murder was instigated by the FBI's COINTELPRO disinformation campaign that targeted the American Indian movement. Throughout the United States at that time, there was growing Native American resistance to further desecration and destruction of Indian lands, primarily from energy and natural resources exploitation. There was also a resurgence of Native people's concern for our treaty rights, for cultural, spiritual, social, and economic justice for Indian people. The U.S. government's response to this was to create confusion and suspicion within the American Indian movement by their COINTELPRO program. Annie Mae Pictou Aquash was a victim of this. She is a hero to many of us. I am especially proud of Annie Mae since she was Mi'kmaq, a tribal nation which is part of my Eastern Woodlands Wabanaki Confederacy. I remember when Annie Mae volunteered a lot at the Boston Indian Council. My mother and I at times saw her when we often brought clothes and canned goods to the Boston Indian Center's food pantry and thrift shop. Please listen now to this tribute to Annie Mae Pictou Aquash by Joy Harjo.
Sky blurred with mist and wind. I am amazed as I watch the violet heads of crocuses erupt from the stiff earth after dying for a season. As I have watched my own dark head appear each morning after entering the next world to come back to this one, amazed. It is the way in the natural world to understand the place the ghost dancers named after the heartbreaking destruction. Anime, everything and nothing changes. You are the shimmering young woman who found her voice when you were warned to be silent or have your body cut away from you. Like an elegant weed. You are the one whose spirit is present in the dappled stars. They prance and lope like colored horses who stay with us through the streets of these steely cities. And I have seen them nuzzling the frozen bodies of tattered drunks on the corner. This morning, when the last star is dimming and the buses grind toward the middle of the city, I know it is 10 years since they buried you. The second time in Lakota, a language that could free you. I heard about it in Oklahoma or New Mexico, how the wind howled and pulled everything down with a righteous anger. It was the women who told me, and we understood wordlessly the right meaning of your murder. as I understand, 10 years later, after the slow changing of the seasons, that we have just begun to touch the dazzling whirlwind of our anger. We have just begun to perceive the amazed world the ghost dancers enter crazily.
That was an honor poem to Native sister anime Pictou Aquash by Native poet and musician Joy Harjo off her Silver Wave Records CD, Poetic Justice, Letter from the End of the 20th Century. Well, dear friends, we are nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Radio. I want to again sincerely thank Gabe and Amy Horn for sharing their spirit with us on Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. I am very honored to have their friendship. I encourage all of our worldwide listeners to read all the fine books written by Gabe and Amy Kraut Horn. Bookstores can always look up the titles and order their various books for you. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. We shall conclude today's broadcast with a song that is meant to thank and honor today's special program guest, my dear friend, Amy Kraut Horn. I also want to thank Gabe and Amy's four-legged wolf spirit relative, Ekstasi, and Makwa the cat, for allowing me to come into their home. This last song is by Oneida singer-songwriter Joanne Shenandoah, off her Silver Wave Records CD entitled Covenant. The name of the song is Her Dance. This is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker. Aho, Kinon Wontakwasin to all of our relations.
Oh, we o, aho, we a hey ya. Oh, we a nahe, we a hey ya. Ho, we o, we ho, we a hey ya. Howie, howie, nay, guy, now we are here. Oh, we are a ho, we are here. Oh, we ain't a head, we are here. Oh, we ho, we are here. Howie, howie, nay, guy, now we are here. Oh, we are a ho, we are here. Oh, we ain't a head, we are here. Oh, we ho, we are here. How we need a guy, now we are here. Oh, we are a ho, we are here. Oh, we ain't a head, we are here. Oh, we ho, we are here. How we know. Thank you. Hey-ya, oh, way-ya, hey-ya.